Good morning, welcome to everyone. We're continuing the Shir on Likutei Halachos, Orach Chaim, Chelek Gimel, Hilchos Yom Kippur, Halacha Aleph, Paragraph Beis. Today's Shir is dedicated Le'ilui Nishmas Reizel Bas Rav Shalom, whose yahrzeit was yesterday, but the burial was today. And the first year we follow the burial, mother-in-law of a close friend of ours for over 40 years, students of Rav Rosenfeld. And in addition, for a complete refuah shalema for Daniel David ben Chaya Gittel. We started this halacha yesterday. Rav Nosson Zal is explaining the concepts of Yom Kippur based on chapter 29 in Likutei Moran. And we spoke a little about the important emphasis on Tikkun HaBris, that out of all the things in Yiddishkeit, in religion, this is among the top. Purity in the relationship between men and women. And therefore we see that on Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year, when we're looking for forgiveness and atonement for all of our sins, this plays a very major role in it. We spoke about the Kohen Gadol, and now Rav Nosson Zal continues. V'zeh shehuzhar Aaron achrei mois bonov leval yovoi b'cholei sel ha-kodesh. And this is why we find in the Torah portion that we read on Yom Kippur in the morning, we read about the passing away of the two sons of Aaron HaKohen, and afterwards Hashem warns Aaron HaKohen and all the Kohanim to be extremely cautious not to enter the Beis HaMikdash and certainly not to enter the Holy of Holies whenever you want, to know that there's a lot of requirements and prerequisites to be able to be allowed to enter. Leval yovoi b'cholei sel ha-kodesh, shelo yichnois lifnim ki im al yedei avoidos yom ha-kippurim, that the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to enter the inner sanctuary, the Beis HaMikdash, without the pre-services that are performed for the holiday of Yom Kippur. She'oz hu tikkun HaBris. Yom Kippur is a time when the tikkun HaBris is at a height. Tikkun HaBris again means the purity between men and women in the relationship. V'chol ho'avoidos shel hakorbanos kulam b'shvil zeh. And in fact, now Rav Nosson Zal tells us that all of these sacrifices, all of the animal sacrifices that were brought in the Beis HaMikdash were actually for this purpose, meaning dahainu lahachnia ruach habehemius. It was a message to the one bringing the sacrifice, that what we're trying to achieve is we're trying to subdue the animal inside of us and to elevate the human inside of us. To be machnia, the ruach habehemius, the animal, shehu pigama bris, which is especially related to sins in this area, in the relationship between men and women. K'may shekosel b'zohar HaKadosh, as the Zohar HaKadosh writes, on a pasuk in Tehillim, chapter 32, one of the paragraphs in Tikkun HaKloli, where it says, "Al tihiyu kisus kifered ein hovin." Hashem is speaking to a Jew and saying, "Don't be like a horse, like a mule that has no intellect." Ayin Shem, look in the Zohar HaKadosh there, where the Zohar HaKadosh relates this to the issue of Tikkun HaBris. The Zohar HaKadosh there refers to the words that follow this, where it says, "Bemeseg voresen edyoy livloim balkroy velecha." Bemeseg voresen refers to the bit and the other item that's put into the mouth of a horse or a donkey in order to assist it in its work. The first letters of those four words, "Bemeseg voresen edyoy livloim," spell the word boyel. Boyel means a man who has relations with a woman. And then it says, Bal kroy velecha, cannot come close to you, Hashem, meaning that any sins in this area of Pegama Bris, Chas V'Shalom, would make it difficult or impossible for a person to approach Hashem, to come close to Hashem, and certainly not to be allowed to enter into the inner sanctuary, the Beis HaMikdash. And again, the Pasuk relates it to a horse, a mule, that a Jew who doesn't behave properly in this area of Tikkun HaBris, of a proper, holy, healthy relationship between husband and wife, between man and woman, That's called sus, an animal. Sus, fered, ein hoven, showing a lack of intelligence, and bal kroy ve'lecha, not able to come close to Hashem. V'gam, in addition, sheyihye nosui, one of the important requirements for the Kohen Gadol to be able to do the service on Yom Kippur was he had to be married, k'may shekosuv sham, as it says there in the Zohar HaKadosh. And it says in the Pasuk over there, when it speaks about the Kohen being careful when he enters into the sanctuary, it says there, v'chiper ba'adoi uva'ad beisoi uva'ad kol kal Yisrael, that the Kohen Gadol has to atone for himself, for his family, and for the rest of the Jewish people, which means he must have a family in order to be able to perform this service. He must be married. Oz hu roi lichnois el HaKodesh. Then he's qualified to enter into el HaKodesh penimo, to enter the inner holiness of the Holy Temple, lizkois ledas godol, to merit the high level of das, going into that place where the luchos were, the tablets which had the Torah on it, lahamshich mishom lavnunis, and to draw from there whiteness, mechila uslicha, which means forgiveness and atonement for sins. As we mentioned previously, that the sins present red stains on the soul of a person, and the purification is referred to as whitening. Vizeh shekosuv, and this is why the pasuk says there, Bezois Yovoi Aharon. With these requirements, the Kohen Gadol can enter. Hainu Bechinas Tikkun HaBris. The word Zois also refers specifically to Tikkun HaBris. Shehu Bechinas Zois Brisi Asher Tishmeru. As the Pasuk says, this is my covenant which you should uphold, which you should keep. Ukemuva, and is brought in Sifrei Kabbalah, that this is referring to Tikkun HaBris. V'alkein, and this will also explain why the Torah portion that we read on Mincha on Yom Kippur is the Parsha of Arayos, the portion of the Torah that defines all the different relatives and relationships which are forbidden. Kol Parshas Arayos, ki oz hu bechinas Tikkun HaBris. Because Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year, the day when we're hoping to achieve atonement for all of our sins, that's the day of Tikkun HaBris. Paragraph Gimel. V'alkein b'yoyim ha-kippurim hoyrid Moshe ha-Torah li-Yisrael. And this is why it was on Yom Kippur, after the Torah was first given on the holiday of Shavuos, and Moshe Rabbeinu went up to heaven, and he came down on the 17th of Tammuz with the first set of luchos, of tablets. And he broke them because he came down to view the Jewish people participating in the golden calf. Then Moshe Rabbeinu went back up to heaven twice for 2 40-day periods and finally came down on Yom Kippur with the new set of tablets, the new presentation of the Torah. Ki ikar kabbalas hatoyro al yedei Tikkun HaBris, kama shekosuv Rabbeinu sham. Because as Rabbeinu Zal writes there in chapter 29 in Likutei Moran, one of the most important prerequisites for a Jew to be able to receive the Torah properly, to be able to receive the Torah, to understand it, to interpret it correctly, is Tikkun HaBris, purity in this area. V'alkein koirin b'yoyim ha-kippurim shisha oylem la-Torah. And this is why on Yom Kippur, it's the only day of the year when we invite 6 people up to the Torah at Shachris in the morning on Yom Kippur. Ki vov hu bechinas Tikkun HaBris. Because the letter vov in the Aleph Beis represents Tikkun HaBris, the midah of Yesoid. Rabbeinu Zal elaborates on this in chapter 11 in Likutei Moran. In the 7 lower midos of Hashem, Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hoid, Yesoid, Yesoid is number 6. And we know that 6 times Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei, Hashem's most basic name, Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei, which is 26, 6 times 26 is 156, which is Yosef. Yosef HaTzadik, who is the symbol of Tikkun HaBris, the one who passed the incredible test with the wife of Potiphar. And this is also why relations between husband and wife are forbidden on Yom Kippur, ki oz anu tzrichin lifroish atzmeinu, because that's a day when we need to separate ourselves, kedei lizkois lekabolas haTorah, in order to merit receiving the Torah, kemoi Moshe Rabbeinu, just like Moshe Rabbeinu, shehutzrach lifroish atzmoi mikoil v'koil, who had to separate himself completely from his wife, not just as in the standard relationship between a religious husband and wife, where there's a time in the month where relations are permitted and there's a time when it's forbidden, but rather in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu, he was told at a certain point in time, V'ato poi amoid imodi, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, you stay with me here right now. Different from all other Jews. Machmashehoyo klal kabolas haTorah, because Moshe Rabbeinu represented the receiving of the entire Torah on behalf of the Jewish people. We know Rabbeinu Zal quotes the Sefer HaRokeach, it is, I think, that the words Moshe Rabbeinu are Begematria 613, to show that Moshe Rabbeinu is the Torah on the highest level. And Kemoshe Kosav Rabbeinu B'maimar B'kroi V'lai Mareim, as Rabbeinu Zal elaborates in chapter 36 in Likut Imran, the incredible importance of Tikkun HaBris in order to be able to receive the Torah. Vaydeze zoichen lekaporo al yedei kedushas habris. And it's through this that we achieve the forgiveness, the atonement on Yom Kippur through Tikkun HaBris. At this point, I think it's extremely important to clarify this issue. We know that there are other religions where, in order to serve as a priest, the person doesn't get married. They don't get married. And that's supposed to represent purity, that there's no association with a woman. And that's supposed to elevate the person to a higher level. We know that in Judaism, that's true only for Moshe Rabbeinu or someone on that level. For the rest of the Jews, the Tikkun HaBris is specifically to be married and to live with holiness, with purity, with shalom bayis, with simcha. That's the Tikkun HaBris. There's one day a year, that's Yom Kippur, that there we go into this mode, we emulate Moshe Rabbeinu. There's a pasuk in Tehillim, Yomim Yutzaru V'loy Echod Bohem. Hashem has created days. One of them is reserved as being completely holy for Hashem. That's the day of Yom Kippur. Therefore, on that day, we express our holiness in this manner by abstaining from contact with a woman. Whereas throughout the rest of the year, with certain exceptions, there are other days when relations are forbidden via halacha or sometimes based on Kabbalistic reasons. But generally, for the rest of us, the purity is by a proper, healthy, kosher relationship between men and women. Nothing is coincidence. Tomorrow we're going to be reading the portion of the Torah, Bahaloscha, where at the end of the portion, and just a few minutes ago I read Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum, where we read about Aharon and Miriam, two of the holiest people in the world, questioning Moshe Rabbeinu's actions. Because earlier in the parsha, it tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu was complaining to Hashem, I cannot handle the Jewish people by myself. I need help. And Hashem said, you're right. We're going to give you 70 prophets to work with you. And the Torah tells us how this was done. And when Tzipora heard about this, she said, I feel bad for their wives. So Miriam and Aaron asked, why? What's wrong? She said, because a prophet has to separate. There has to be a separation between husband and wife. So they looked at her strange. What do you mean? We live with our husband and wife and we're prophets. And this is why they ended up questioning Moshe Rabbeinu. And Hashem spoke up at the end of the parsha. And Hashem says, how dare you? How dare you question Moshe Rabbeinu? You're comparing yourselves to Moshe Rabbeinu? As great as Aaron and Miriam were, there's one Moshe Rabbeinu, Bechol Beis Sineman Hu, who has to be ready 24-7 to receive prophecy. And when Hashem appeared to Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam at the time, Aaron and Miriam were not in a pure state, and the Rashi points out they had to run quickly, bring water, we have to purify ourselves, Hashem wants to speak to us. So we see clearly in the Torah that there are levels here. In Hebrew law, there's a chapter which speaks about the relationship between husband and wife, and it defines what the proper, kosher, healthy amount of contact between husband and wife should be. For a Talmud Chacham, for a businessman, for a hard worker, the Torah takes all the different factors into consideration to show what a relationship of holiness is. Any questions, please?
Yes, if Rav could possibly explain what would be the equivalent for women of Tikkun HaBrit?
The topic of Tikkun HaBrit for women is, number one, especially all the factors involved in tzniut, in a woman conducting herself with modesty, modesty in every facet of life, in dress, in speech, in appearance, kol kvoida bas melech penima, for a woman to maintain the royalty of a Jewish princess in being reserved in all of her behavior and her interaction with men and even with women, and in terms of being more public or less public, and in addition, especially to being supportive of her husband in studying Torah, in maintaining purity in Tikkun HaBrit. When a woman makes herself attractive to her husband, and specifically and only to her husband and for her husband, and the relationship between them is healthy and it's positive, that gives the husband the ability to be a prime leader in the family of Torah, of bringing the divine spirit of Hashem into the home, and performing all the mitzvahs that are relevant to her in the holiest way. She's the one that brings Shabbos into the home. Shabbos is called bris in the manner that she lights candles. If she lights candles at the earliest time possible and does it with the proper prayer, in the performance of all the mitzvahs that she performs, all the things that are related to her are all connected to the Tikkun HaBrit. Any other questions?
Rav Maimon, Kol Kavod, Nadav and Avihu, Moshe Rabbeinu was the exception to the rule of being apart and separate. It almost seems like Nadav and Avihu, in some sort of sense, are a symbol for the other, no disrespect, but other religions who have their priests, so forth, included with that alien fire. Is that some sort of connection?
Correct.
Or?
The answer is correct. The Zohar HaKodesh speaks about this, and Rav Nosson Zal speaks about this in maybe 5 or 10 different places in Likutei Halachos, where he addresses the fact that one aspect of a mistake on the part of Nadav and Avihu was they wanted to go very high, bekarvasam lefnei Hashem, the Torah tells us. They wanted to come very close, and they didn't realize that what Hashem expects from a Jew, and especially a tzaddik, is the ability to go up and the ability to go down. In the relationship between husband and wife, it's not always the case, but generally, if it's really the best type of relationship, the husband would be the one who's more knowledgeable in Torah. The husband is the teacher, the rabbi in the house. We find that Adam Arishon, that the Medrash tells us, that Chava would call her husband Adam, Rebbe, my rabbi. That being the case, the husband, one of the husband's most important students is his wife. To be able to share whatever he possibly can in Torah knowledge, in wisdom, in midos, with the wife. And it's pointed out that Nadav and Avihu didn't understand this. They didn't realize that in order to really come close to Hashem and to be able to enter into the Holy of Holies, you have to also be able to be willing to share your Torah with students, with a wife. That was a major aspect of their pigam. In the example you mentioned about other religions, unfortunately, in recent years, it's become public knowledge that because those priests were not Moshe Rabbeinu, they were not qualified, we find out that not only were they not pure, not only were they not pure in separating from a woman, but unfortunately, sadly, there was terrible, terrible impurity in the behavior.
Amazing. Thank you.
I saw a question that's being asked. Why couldn't Hashem have Rachmanis on Sipora and set aside times for her? We can be sure that Moshe Rabbeinu and Sipora had a very good, happy, healthy relationship. The fact that she made a comment like that, we have to be extremely careful whenever we read any line in the Torah or message, not to take it out of context. They were the top of the top. And the Arizal shows the Gilgulim, the reincarnations of Moshe Rabbeinu and Tzipora, how they were suited for each other. The more we will learn, we will see again that this was a unique case. There are certain instances, a similar question comes up when people study this, the life story of Rav Nosson Zal, and they see that there were many times that he left home to go to Rabbi Nachman, and he would leave home for a week or two or sometimes 3 weeks at a time. And there are men and women that look at that and say, what kind of a husband? What kind of a father? And the answer is, if you will study the life of Rav Nosson Zal, you will see that all of us would have to rise billions of levels above where we are to come anywhere close to what kind of a husband and what kind of father Rav Nosson Zal was. It's just that when we see certain aspects of a person's life, there are times in life when there has to be separation, and there are times in life when a person has to do something that seems bad towards their wife, towards their husband, towards their children. But if we look at the big picture, and if we look at things properly, we see that that wasn't really the case. There's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos where the Mishnah says, Yehi beischa pasuach l'ravacha, your home should be open wide to welcome guests, to welcome people that are needy. V'yihiyu aniyim b'nei beischa, the poor people should be members of your household. That's one interpretation of that Mishnah. Another interpretation is, V'yihiyu aniyim b'nei beischa, and the members of your household, your family members, should be poor. Meaning that sometimes a person, in order to be able to invite guests, in order to be able to welcome others, a person is taking away from their own family. And a person says, I don't know if that's really right. It's like a mitzvah bo b'aveira. I'm helping someone else and hurting my own family. Maybe I should just work on my own family and forget about others. The answer is that this requires a lot of knowledge of Torah and guidance of tzaddikim for a person to be able to judge these situations correctly. The Gemara says about Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, when he was invited to become the chief rabbi of Klal Yisrael, he said to the rabbis, I have to speak to my wife first. And it wasn't because he was seeking her advice, it was because he understood that being the rabbi that he was required a certain level of separation from his wife to teach Torah to students, etc. Taking on the role of chief rabbi would mean more of a separation. And it's true that he wanted to make sure that she was on board, that she was willing. That's one of the important criteria that's needed when a person makes a decision. But we know also that there were stories in the Torah of cases where a wife originally was very much opposed to a person's path in becoming religious or becoming more religious. And if the person was doing it correctly and if the person had the proper guidance, usually in the end, the wife came on board and in many cases was either an assistant to the husband or in some cases went ahead of the husband, became a leader in the family when she realized, when she understood that it was the right path. Okay, let's continue. Paragraph Dalet. V'zeh b'chinas ha'taynis shemisanin b'yom ha'kippurim. And based on what we're learning here, we'll understand the significance of why we fast. We abstain completely from eating and drinking for the entire day of Yom Kippur, besides even other things, We don't wear leather shoes. Different requirements. Kedei lahachmia ruach habehemius. This is all about subduing the animal inside of us. The animal that has all kinds of materialistic desires. I want to eat. I want to eat now. I want to eat a lot. I want to eat whatever I want to eat. All of those things. We're showing the ability to control and subdue the desire for the animal inside of us, in a sense. Shehu bechinas pegam abris, which is especially and specifically related to pegam abris. As we showed in the previous paragraph, ki al yedei hatainis machnien ruach habehemius, because fasting is one of the ways that a person subdues the materialistic part of them, the animal part of them. K'may shekos of Rabbeinu, as Rabbeinu Zal speaks about this in chapter 37 in Likutei Moran. V'oz zoichin lebechinas odom. And when we subdue and control the animal inside of us, then the person achieves the title Adam, human being. K'may shekosuv, as the Pasuk says, when Hashem first created man, Vayikach es ha'odom, Hashem took the person. And the Zohar HaKadosh asks, Me'on notale, from where did Hashem take him? Me'arba yesoidin delay. Hashem took man from the four basic elements that were used to create man originally, which are fire, water, air, and dirt. And the Zohar HaKadosh says, De'afrishle mitayva d'lohoim. Hashem elevated man and separated man from the desires of these four basic elements. We know fire represents passion. And there are people that are passionate about eating. And there are people that are passionate about other physical or materialistic desires. And Hashem took man out of that. He wanted us to rise to a level where we would not be controlled by these materialistic physical desires, but rather we would rise above it and we would be in complete control of ourselves and how we relate to these four basic elements. V'alkein onu poyshim atzmenu b'yoyim ha-kippurim mikol ha-taivos. And this is why on Yom Kippur we abstain, we separate ourselves from all materialistic desires, kedei lahachnia ruach ha-behemius, in order to subdue completely that animal spirit inside of us, shehu pegam abris, shehu klolius kol hataivos. Pegam abris is referred to as a composite of all of the desires, the desire for food, the desire for money, the desire for kavod, all of them are connected to pegam abris, as is explained throughout Likutei Moran. Kedei lizkois lebechinas odom, in order to rise to the level of Adam, man, Shehu Bechinas Das. The title Adam relates specifically to intelligence, Das. Ki Shem Adam Loi Nikro Elo Habar Das, Kamuva. Because the Zohar HaKadosh speaks about the different terms that are used to refer to man throughout the Torah. There's Enoish, Ish, Gever, and there's Adam. And the Zohar HaKadosh tells us that the title Adam refers specifically to a bardas, a person who has real, true intelligence. Rabbeinu Zal references this in Likutei Moran. We know in Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, the letters which refer to Sechel, to intellect, are the letters Yud Hei. Yud represents Chochma, Hei represents Bina, and Das is the combination of them. The Zohar HaKadosh says, we know that there are three parts to the brain. In biology, we learn about the cerebrum, the cerebellum, and the medulla. In Torah, Lahavdil, we learn about Chochma, Bina, and Das, or Keser, Chochma, and Bina. Yud Kei is 15. Yud and Hei is 15. Three times Yud Hei is 45, which is Bigimatria Adam, to show that this title Adam refers specifically to Sechel, Das. Ki ze moisar ha'odom in ha'behema, because this is what's supposed to separate and elevate man above animal, a higher level of intelligence. ועל ידי הדעס, בחינס תיקן הבריס, שזויכן על ידי הטיינס, על ידי זה נמחול אין הווינס. And it's through this higher level intellect, which is associated with tikkun habris, which a person achieves through fasting, this is what helps all the sins being forgiven. Because we know the original cause of sin is lack of intellect. The Gemara says, Lo'il ein adam chote, elim kenichnas by ruach shtus, that sins are a reflection of a silliness, a foolishness, that goes into the person's mind, that allows them to act silly and commit sins, go against the Creator. So when we repair our das, the more we elevate our das, that repairs and removes the sins. V'ze b'chinas mi yodea ruach b'nei ha'odom ho'ila hi lamalo, v'ruach ha'behemo ha'yaredes hi lamato. And with this we understand a pasuk in Navi, which says, who understands the spirit of human beings which rises above and the spirit of an animal which goes down below? Hainu, what this is telling us is, al yidei shemachnin umayriden ruach habehem yislamato, by a person subduing and lowering the animal spirit inside of them, dahainu pigam abris, which is especially related to pigam abris, and we said that one of the things that helps this is fasting. Through this, the human spirit, which is associated with purity in the air of Tikkun HaBris, which is the spirit of man, as the pasuk says, we mentioned this in the previous year, when the messengers were by Rochav, and she told them, don't worry, the people here are afraid of you. You'll be able to conquer Israel easily. She said to them, "V'loikama oid ruach boish." The people here are no longer able to function in the relationship between men and women. They're so fearful, they're so broken, that they don't have that koyach gavra, that strength of a male. Ha'oilo hilamala. So through, again, when there's tikkun habris, the human spirit rises up. Lehalois hadas, to elevate the das, bibechinas kenesher yo'ir kinoi, as we quoted the pasuk earlier, in the previous shir, that through nesher, which is ruach, we awaken and elevate the kinoi, the knei chachma knei bina. V'zehu, and this is why the pasuk begins with the words, mi yoideya ruach b'nei adam. Because by elevating the human intellect inside of us, through this we're zoiche to das. Ki tikkun habris oilo lemalo umeirim es hadas kanal. Because when a person is privileged to achieve tikkun habris, that holiness rises up and affects the person's brain, opens the person's brain to true intellect and to holiness. We quoted previously, the Zohar HaKadosh says, Siluka di Yesoido ad Abba ve'ima, that the elevation of the Mid of Yesoid reaches all the way up to Abba and Ima, which are Chachma and Bina. V'zeh b'chinas chamisha inuyim she'amurim b'yom HaKippurim. And this will also explain why the Gemara tells us there are five levels of abstention that we exercise on Yom Kippur. We don't eat and drink, we don't bathe, we don't smear ourselves with oil, there's no relations between husband and wife. And one other one, five, kedei liskois lehei hadas, in order to achieve the five, the number five, which is associated with das. We know that in the Hebrew language, if I say kois, a cup, kois means a cup. If I say hakois, Vikois, it means you know which one we're talking about. Shulchan is table. Hashulchan, the table, you know which one we're referring to. That hey in front of the word is called a hey hayedia, the hey which expresses knowledge. So here again, the five forms of abstention on Yom Kippur are to elevate our das. Alidei hachnoas kol hatayvos, by suppressing and subduing all of the materialistic physical desires. V'zeh b'chinas isur niras hasandal. Rav Nosson Zal just mentioned the one that I left out before. And that's why we don't wear leather shoes on Yom Kippur. B'chinas, this goes back to when Moshe Rabbeinu had his first official meeting with Hashem that's mentioned in the Torah. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Shal ne'olecha me'al raglecha. Remove your shoes from your feet. Dahainu lahafshit atzmoi mitayvoi sagufnius. What that was really referring to was that in order for Moshe Rabbeinu to achieve the level of closeness to Hashem and holiness that he had to achieve, it required him to separate himself completely from physical desires. Dahainu, and especially Taiva HaKlolius Hanal, the ultimate Taiva, which is Taivas Noshim, the most difficult and the highest level Taiva. Kemoy de Isa, as is brought in the Zohar HaKadosh, Shal Na'olecha Dogufa. The Zohar HaKadosh says that one interpretation of the shoe is that refers to the body, elevating the soul from being controlled and brought down by the body. Gam Isa Sham, and the Zohar HaKadosh also says, Shal Na'olecha, remove your shoe, Do Itza. That refers to the wife. That Moshe Rabbeinu, again, was a unique exception, where in order for him to achieve his role, it required a separation from his wife. Ki zeh klal kol ha-taivois ha-gufonius. Because this taiva, the wrong type of desire, a sinful type of desire towards a woman, that's referred to as the klolis. It's a composite of all of the physical desires. I noticed somebody answered the question, somebody presented a question, isn't desire for money one of the biggest desires? The answer is yes. There's a lot written about this. And Rav Nosson Zal, in one place in Likutei Halachos, where he expounds on the 12th story in Sipurei Maaseiyos, the story of the master of prayer, one of the materialistic desires is money, the worship of money. Rav Nosson Zal, in Likutei Halachos, goes into a whole discussion explaining the relationship between money and women and showing where Tikkun HaBris is and where Taivas Mamon is and how significant both of them are. V'zeh b'chinas chomesh tfilois shemispalam b'yom ha-kippurim. And this will also explain ma'shaloi nimtza kein b'shum yoim sheyispalu b'y chomesh tfilois. And this is why, again, we have something unique to Yom Kippur that we don't have any other day of the year. And on other holidays in the year, we pray a maximum of four prayers. Shachris, Mincha, Mairiv, and Musaf. There's one day a year only when there's five prayers. Those four plus Ne'ilah. Ki ikar tikun hatfila tolui b'kedusha sabris. Kama shekosav rabbeinu b'kama mekoimas. Because true perfection and effectiveness in prayer is dependent on Tikkun HaBris, on holiness in this area. As Rabbi Nachman speaks about this in several places in Likutei Moran, we know that prayer is referred to as a cherev, a sword. There's a pasuk, Roy Memois Kael Bigroinam, they praise Hashem from their throats, the cherev pifiois biyodam, and they carry a double-edged sword in their hands. And Rabbeinu Zal in chapter 2 on Likutei Moran shows that this, based on the Gemara, that this refers to prayer. Prayer is referred to as a double-edged sword. And there's a pasuk that says, Chagoyer charbecho al yorech. Bind your sword to your thigh, showing the connection between tefillah and the issue of Tikkun HaBris. That the effectiveness of a person's prayer is dependent especially on Tikkun HaBris. V'alkein, and therefore, machma she'oz b'yom ha-kippurim zoichem lezeh, because of the fact that on Yom Kippur, all Jews that observe the laws of Yom Kippur achieve a high level of Tikkun HaBris, alkein oz yesh aliyah gedoyla latfila shemispa. Then the prayer has a tremendous elevation, shemispalim kol hayom kulay, whereby many Jews on Yom Kippur are praying all day. They're in shul all day. Umispalalim chomesh tefilos. And we're praying five prayers, keneged hey hadas, corresponding to that letter hey, the number five, which represents das. Shezehu tachlis shlemus hatfila. That represents the ultimate perfection of prayer. Shehu bechinas malchus. We know that prayer is associated with the sphere of malchus. Dovid HaMelech is the one who said, Va'ani tefila, I am prayer. Kishe'oile lebechinas hey. When the prayer rises up to the level of hey, which represents das, we said. Kamuva, as is brought in Sifrei Kabbalah. We know that the malchus, when it's in a weak state, when it's in a poor state, is represented by the letter dalid. The word dalit in Hebrew means dalus, poverty. That's how the malchus is referred to when it's an impoverished state. And when the malchus is complete, when it's whole, it rises to the level of hey, the letter hey. There's a lot written about that in Sifrei Kabbalah and in many places in Likut Imran. And this is also why in our prayers on Yom Kippur, there's a massive amount of praises to Hashem, because what we're trying to do is perfect our speech by praising the tzaddik of the world. As Rabbein Azal writes over there in chapter 29 in Likut Imran, which this halacha is based on. We spoke about this when we first started this halacha, that Rabbein Azal there spoke about Shleimus Hadibur and Tikkun Hadibur, and Rabbein Azal says that the Tikkun HaKloli for speech, the main perfection for speech, is when a person speaks the praises of tzaddikim, of righteous people. And Rabbein Azal elaborates on this a little bit over there in Likut Imran. Rabbi Nelson Zal tells us now, we know that Hashem is also called tzaddik. Hashem is called the tzaddik of the world. And therefore on Yom Kippur, we engage in an extraordinary amount of praise of the tzaddik, praising Hashem, kidei lizkoi salidei zeh ledibur hamiskabel, in order to elevate our speech to a level where it'll be accepted and received warmly by the one that we're speaking to. Shetiskabel tfiloisenu b'yoyim hakipurim, so that our prayers will be accepted warmly by Hashem on Yom Kippur, kidei lizkois lebegodim levonim b'yom hakipurim, and to be zeichet to white garments on Yom Kippur, which, as Rabbein Azal elaborates over there in chapter 29, Ayin Shom, Rav Nosson Zal now is collecting some of the different concepts that appear in that chapter on Likut Imran, some of them that we mentioned earlier, and showing how they all merge together. Over there on Likut Imran, Rabbein Azal began the chapter by emphasizing Shleimus Hadibur, perfection of speech is when a person's words are received and welcomed warmly by the one that you're speaking to. And Rabbein Azal said that in order to have Shleimus Hadibur, the Dibur must have Das. And in order to have Das, it requires Tikkun HaBris. And Rabbein Azal said one of the ways that a person achieves that is by praising Tzadikim. That's one of the things that purifies and elevates a person's speech and assists the person in Tikkun HaBris. Because again, the Tzadik is the symbol of Tikkun HaBris. By recognizing the greatness of the Tzadik, we are attaching ourselves to his kedusha, to his tikkun habris. Rav Nosson Zal says, paragraph hey, v'zeh shanu oimrim b'yom ha-kippurim, baruch shem kevoid malchusoy loylam voed b'koil rom. There's again something unique to Yom Kippur that we don't do any other day of the year. That when we recite the Shema on Yom Kippur, we say the words Baruch Shem Kevod Malchuso out loud. Any other time during the year, when we say the words Baruch Shem Kevod Malchuso, they must be said silently. The Shema is said loud, the Baruch Shem quietly. And this is mentioned in the Gemara, and it's mentioned elaborately in the Zohar HaKodesh, Sifrei Kabbalah, Sifrei Hasidus. In this next paragraph, Rav Nosson Zal is going to give us an incredible, deep, clear understanding of what this is all about throughout the year and Yom Kippur. Machmas she'ein oz achizo lachitzoinim kamuva, because on Yom Kippur, the forces of impurity, the forces of tumah, the klipos, the husks, do not have any power, and they don't have the ability to grab onto, to latch onto the holiness, to try to draw energy from there. We mentioned that the Gemara says that the word hasatan, the prosecuting angel, the evil inclination, that word hasatan is bigematria 364, to show that this angel has power 364 days a year. There's one day when he doesn't have that power. And that's accomplished especially because of the higher level of Tikkun HaBris that the Jews experience on this day of Yom Kippur. And now Rav Nosson Zal is going to explain. Ki kosav Rabbeinu Zal b'maymar b'kroi v'lai mereim, simen lamed vov, because Rabbeinu Zal elaborates in chapter 36 in Likutei Moran, sheshnei hapsukim elu, shma uboruch shein, mesugolim lahachnia taiva haklol yisanal. Rabbeinu Zal says over there that these two sentences, number one, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Number two, Baruch Shem Kevoid Malchus Olam Ve'ed. Reciting these two sentences properly has the ability to weaken a person's wrong type of desire for women. Any type of sinful desire or impure desire or thoughts related to women. Rabbeinu Zal speaks about this over there in Likutei Moran. He says that when a man feels that they're under attack by the wrong types of sinful thoughts in this area, they should recite these two sentences, Shema and Baruch Shem Kodesh Malchusoy, and that'll give the person extra power to avoid those thoughts, to focus their mind on thinking positive thoughts, healthy thoughts, kosher thoughts. Rabbeinu Zal goes on to say further in that chapter that if the person feels that they're being bombarded by those thoughts, like a tsunami, a flood, then the person should try to cry when reciting those two sentences. And in that chapter in the Likutei Moran, Rabbeinu Zal explains what tears are, what crying is. There's an incredible, deep, profound explanation of all of this in chapter 36 in the Likutei Moran. Rav Nosson Zal continues, Ki al yodom nichlolim b'malchus tigdusha, because by reciting these two sentences, a person includes themselves in the holy kingdom of Hashem, she'oimedes al b'chinas yud bei shiftei ka, which stands on the 12 tribes, the 12 holy tribes of the Jewish nation, she'heim b'chinas yud beis tevois, Sheyesh b'shnei psukim elu, which correspond to the 12 words that are found in these two sentences. Ayin Shom, look over there in Likutei Moran, where Rabbeinu Zal explains this. We know that in the Beis Hamikdash, there was a mikveh, a large vessel, which we're told was stood on 12 oxen. The images, 12 images of oxen that supported the Yam Shel Shloimo, it's called. And the Zohar HaKodesh, the Sifrei Kabbalah show that again, this refers to the Malchus, this represents the Malchus of Hashem, this Yam. The Malchus is often referred to as an ocean, a sea, where all other tributaries feed into it. And it stands on 12 oxen, Yud Beis Bokor. There's a pasuk in Mishlei where it says, Be melochim yimloichu. Through me, kings will rule. It's referring to the Torah. But again, it uses the word be. Be is Beis Yud 12. The 12 is one of the important numbers that's associated with Malchus. So when we recite these two sentences, the Shema and the Baruch Shem, we're attaching ourselves to the Holy Kingdom, to the Malchus of Hashem, and we're disengaging from the Malchus of the Sitra Achra, which is especially connected to Pegam HaBris. We'll hold it over here for now. Im Yitz Hashem, hopefully on Sunday, we'll continue This next paragraph is incredible in how Rav Nosson Zal explains this topic. It's a shame. Any questions before we close?
Rabbi, there was a question that was asked on the chat about the difference between Sechel and Das. Can you talk about that?
The answer is not really. The reason being, these terms are used very often throughout Sifrei Kabbalah, Sifrei Chassidus, and Sforim of Machshava. And in many of those Sforim, they at times they explain the differences, the difference between Chachma Bino and Das, the difference between Seichel and Das and Chachma. There are certain differences. I'm not completely aware of all of them. Generally, when those terms are being used in Likut Imran, Likut Elochus, they're generally referring to the same thing. Intelligence in terms of real intelligence related to Hashem. Intelligence that connected to faith in Hashem. It's usually not referring to knowledge of physics or chemistry or those things. Those are referred to as chochmos chitzonios, other wisdoms. Throughout Sifrei Chassidus and Kabbalah, when we speak about seichel, chochma, das, we're referring to Torah knowledge, we're referring to any knowledge that's firmly attached to emunah, to faith in Hashem. Any other questions, please?
Rav Maimon, in regards to Tzipora, the mention of Tzipora, when you talked before about Nadav and Avihu being kind of almost from like Sitra Achra with the religions and stuff, Tzipora's father was, you know, the leader of Sitra Achra for a time. So it's very interesting, and I've never really understood why, you know, I don't know, she had such schut or something to, you know what I'm saying?
Very important question. It would take us months to answer this properly because there is so much written about this in Sifrei Kabbalah and Sifrei Chassidus. But very briefly, the relationship between Moshe Rabbeinu and Tzipora dates back to Cain and Hevel, the first two children of Adam HaRishon. And we're told that Hevel was beloved by Hashem, Cain was less beloved. Hevel offered a sacrifice to Hashem from the best of his produce, and Cain offered from the worst of his produce. And then we're told that Cain became jealous of Hevel, and he murdered him, he killed him. And we're told also that Cain was jealous of Hevel because Hevel was born with two twin sisters, and Cain only had one. And the Zohar HaKodesh and the Arizal and all the Holy Sforim go into incredible detail in explaining how this had to be repaired. Cain killing Hevel had to be repaired. The word Hevel itself is made up of a hay and a beis lamed. The hay represents the five books of the Torah, which begin with the letter beis and end with the letter lamed. So that Hevel was the original Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who gave us the five books of the Torah, which begin with Beis and Lamed. And because of the fact that Cain was jealous and wanted to take away one of the wives, in those days they married their sisters because there was no one else to marry when it came to Cain and Hevel. Just like we're told that the tribes, the 12 Shvatim, were each born with a twin sister. It's brought that Cain, one of the reasons why Cain murdered Hevel was because of jealousy and wanting to take away the extra wife from Moshe Rabbeinu. And in the form of Yisro, one of Yisro, we're told, had seven names. One of his names was Cainy. Yisro, Cain was returning the wife to Moshe Rabbeinu, to Hevel. It's brought that Tzipora, the Arizal says the word Tzipora is exactly bigematria le Moshe, for Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm giving you the tip of the tip of the tip of the iceberg on this topic. There's fantastic things. We're going to see a lot of this throughout Likutei Halachos. But again, to know that the Torah is very deep, it's infinite. And when a person sees something that they don't understand or that doesn't make sense, it's only from our lack of knowledge. And if each of us will try to do the most we can to keep learning, there are much more answers than there are questions in these forum. Much more answers than all the questions that all of us could come up with. I really mean that. Wishing everyone a wonderful Shabbos and looking forward to continuing together.
Thank you so much.
All the best.
Thank you. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Shabbos, thank you very much.
Good Shabbos.
Merry Shabbos.
Shabbat.
Have a good Shabbos, Rav.
You too. All of us.
Thank you so much, Rav. Good night, Shabbos.
Thank you. All the best.